Good morning, everyone. It is great to be with you today. Certainly thankful for the opportunity that we have to worship our Lord and our God on this beautiful Lord's Day. Pray that you all are doing well. Certainly miss seeing you, but definitely grateful for the technology that we have to be able to worship our God and definitely continuing to remember you in my prayers and pray that you are remembering us in your prayers as well. Now, I've been thinking about the song "It Is Well With My Soul" this week and just the words behind that song and the idea that I think most people like that song, the music, the way that it sounds, and you think about the words, and I think sometimes these words come across to us as a great theory, but how do we make them a reality? How do we truly have that kind of faith? That is, the song starts off by saying, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whether it's peace that is all over that we all have, or if it's sorrow like sea billows, like waves crashing on us, whatever it is, whichever one it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. You think about what Satan is able to do, the power that he has, to the great tempter that he is. You think about the trials that we are going through. Is it well with my soul? Because I understand what Jesus was willing and able to do for us. He goes on in the next verse, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole. I love that lyric. It's not just about simply that he took some of my sins away. He took all of them away. And how did he do that? It's nailed to the cross and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. How do we get to that point where we have that kind of faith, that kind of confidence, that kind of trust in God? I'm reminded when all of this started a few weeks ago, there were people that were putting up these signs on Facebook that were talking about Noah. Noah was in the ark. Noah was quarantined. Noah was by himself with just his family. And all these things about Noah. And then you start going a few weeks later and some of the same people are complaining a little bit about the things that are going on. I ask you, how long do you think Noah was in the ark? Because if your answer is 40 days, you may want to go read that again. It was a lot longer than 40 days. We need to be like Noah. We need to have this kind of faith and trust in the Almighty God. But we also need to understand that the struggle is absolutely real, and the one that we can turn to absolutely can help us through these difficult times. It is well with my soul. I'd like to use Mark the 4th chapter and Mark the 5th chapter really to point this out. And hopefully this will be an encouragement to you as it has to been to me as we are going through these difficulties. These are some of the verses that I like to go and just remind myself of the great God that we serve. Over in Mark the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 35 through 41, this is a very popular story that occurs here. Certainly, if you're a part of West Mason, you know I love this story. This is where Jesus is in the boat, and he's with the disciples here, and the disciples are awake, but Jesus falls asleep. And in verse 37, it says, and there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's fascinating to me what they say to him. Don't you care? Don't you care that we are perishing? How can you be asleep during this huge storm that we are going through? Don't you care? And I don't think it's too far-fetched to think that there are some that are struggling with this today. Don't you care, God, that we are going through this? Where are you? Why are you not taking care of this difficulty, these struggles that we are going through? And I just want you to consider something. for just a moment. When it comes to things that are out of our control, when it comes to the situation for these disciples that are in this boat and that's out of their control, that they turn to the one that had the control. And he tells it, peace, be still, hush, be still. But he asks this question that's amazing to me, where he says, why are you afraid? I was afraid because of this huge storm that we were in. I'm afraid of this whole virus thing that's going on, whatever it is, whatever the struggles are. I'm telling you, he does care. He is concerned, and he knows what is going on. Now, this past week, on the Thursday class, we studied John, the 11th chapter, with Lazarus passing away. And the amazing thing about that story to me is the reality of Jesus' concern for the people. He knew that he was going to bring Lazarus back from the dead. And yet it says time and time and time again that he wept, that he was disturbed, that it was difficult for him to see the people weeping around him. He was touched by all that was going on, even though he knew what the end result was going to be. We need to have that understanding of our God. He does care when we are going through these difficulties. He is absolutely in control. And you and I need to make sure that we have this kind of faith, or striving to have this kind of faith, that we can say, it is well with my soul. Even though the sorrows are crashing on top of me, even though the trials of this life are almost more than I can handle, it is well with my soul because I know the one who is able to handle those things. I have a relationship with him and am willing to lean on him. It's not interesting to me that they would ask it, do you not care that we are perishing, while he's in the same boat with them? You and I need to remember, as we are walking through this life, God is with us. Does he care? Of course he does. You know, as you continue on here in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and you get into the next story, you get into this conversation of this man who had an unclean spirit, and nobody would go near him. Nobody would go near him. In verse 3, it says, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him and the shackles broken into pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. And he screams, talks about in verse 5, and gashes himself like stones. But I want you to notice what's concerned him, or at least concerned the demon. In verse 6, seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you, by God, do not torment me. You know, it's amazing to me that the humans were not willing to get around this man because they were not strong enough to subdue him. But this demon knew exactly who was before him. And he falls down before Jesus, knowing full well who that is. You know, there comes a point in time where these things are going on, and obviously Jesus is going to take care of this situation here and is able to take care of this situation. But there are just some people that you just decide, look, I'm just going to stay away from them. You know, who cares about that person? He is absolutely gone. There are just things that there's no way of handling, and I don't understand what he's going through. I'm just going to let it go. Even in those situations, those of us, as we try to make application to today, though that obviously a demon possession and the mental, emotional struggles that we have are not the same. But I think a lot of times people have the same perspective of them, that I'm glad it's not me that's going through those things. I don't understand it, so therefore, maybe to some people, it just doesn't seem real. I assure you that it is real. I assure you that there's a number of people that are struggling emotionally and mentally at this time. And we need to care. But far more and greater than anything that you and I can do is that God cared for this one. Yes, Jesus is going to take care of these demons, and that's going to be the concern for the people here, focusing on the demons. But I want you to understand, as you continue on here in this story, it's the man that's the important part to Jesus. It's the man himself who is told, you need to go home. You need to share your story with the people that are at your home. Can you imagine the power of that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took time to focus on this man, to talk to this man. Everybody else focusing on what he does to the pigs. Jesus focuses on the man. You and I need to understand that when it comes to our Savior, he is concerned with every single one of us. He understands and values your soul just as much as he has valued anybody's soul that's ever walked the face of this earth. He wants you to be with him for eternity, no matter what struggles you go through and no matter what you have done in the past. He didn't just take some of your sins. He took the whole, as we sang. And it's understanding that kind of relationship that he has or wants and desires with us that we can say, yes, does Jesus care? I know he cares. I know that even though other people may not show any concern for me, and that's not true either. But even in that situation, nobody else is concerned with me or for me. I know that the God of all things, the creator of all, is concerned with me. And he is there to help me. It reminds me a lot in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28 through 30. You know, sometimes when you're going through emotional things and struggling mentally, you almost think that you get feel guilty that it's something that you're struggling with because you look at other people and you see that they're struggling with something physically and it's so difficult for them, and it is. But it also is for you. And what I love about our Savior is he doesn't say, I want you to give me some of the burdens that you're going through. I want you to pick and choose the hard ones and give those to me. He wants all of our burdens, all of them. If it's a struggle to you, if it's a burden to you, Jesus wants them. There's no question about that. Even these huge storms that we talk about, that man in the chapter that we just read in Mark, the fourth chapter, man, humans were screaming, upset, scared to death. What was God doing? Sleep. He was asleep in the boat. So understanding that even the greatest of things that we go through in this life are nothing for our God, except for the fact that he cares for you. And therefore, he wants your burdens. He wants my burdens. And he wants us to make sure that we understand that he can take them because he cares for you, as Peter tells us. I'm reminded of Matthew, the 11th chapter, 28 through 30, where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. All. Not just those that are struggling physically. All who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. It's the attitude that we need to have towards our God, that he is concerned with every single thing that we go through. It's understanding that attitude and that desire for you and I, striving to have this kind of relationship with him, that he'll end by saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's going to help us through those difficulties that we go through. I know that there are some that are struggling with this part. And I pray that you can get to the point of, first of all, understanding that, yes, it is a true struggle that you are going through. But Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the one that's able to help you through these things. Doesn't mean you don't get help from other places. Please don't misunderstand me. It does mean he's the priority. He's the one that you go to first. He's the one that you lean on. He's the one that's there to care for all that you are going through. And it is well with your soul that Jesus Christ is going to help you through those things, come what may. You continue on in Mark, the fifth chapter, and you get down to verses 21 through 43, and there's these two amazing stories that are put together here. And I'm going to try to break them up just for a minute. You know, you have this story, obviously, of Jairus, and the fact that he is trying to get Jesus to come to his house. We find out that it's his daughter that is just to the point of death in verse 23. And he says, please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. Just please. You imagine as a dad or a mom thinking about your daughter being this sick. And there's one that's there and he has the ability, and you know he has the ability to heal her. And you go to him. And as you're on your way back, he's sort of delayed, which we'll get into in just a minute. And somebody comes up and basically tells him, look, you need to just leave him alone. In verse 35, while he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? It's too late. Can you imagine his reaction to that? Your daughter has died. Jesus, in verse 36, says, but Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. Only believe. You know, there certainly is a power that we have to be able to go to our God on behalf of other people. It is difficult to see people struggling with things. It is difficult to watch people suffering in this life. But we have the ability to take them to the Almighty God. And we need to make sure that we are doing this now, today. You know, I've heard during this time that there are people that up until this point were struggling, having disagreements and various things, not talking to one another because of what was going on. And you know, it's amazing how it takes something like this to truly wake us up to a reality. That the things that we took for granted for years stopped just like that. Were we ready for that? And you think you're ready for the day of judgment? Do we understand that there is today is the day of salvation? 2 Corinthians 6, chapter and verse 2, it says, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait. You see, to Jesus, it was not too late. And as long as someone is alive in this world, it's not too late. But the difference between this story and today is that Jesus is not around to bring back this young girl back from the dead. He certainly can from a spiritual standpoint and will when somebody obeys him. But you and I are not promised anything beyond this moment that we have. And we need to make the most of the time that we have in this life. I know that there are people that are struggling with this point. And I'm telling you, make sure that you're making the most of every moment that you are blessed with. If there are people that you need to talk to them. If there are things that you need to take care of them. Understanding that this is about your relationship with God. Do not have anything that stands before you and him, or stands between you and him. Make sure that you have the relationship that you need to have with him. Make sure that you understand that he does have this power, that there may be people in your life that you have not talked to about the scriptures, or not talked to or introduced them to Jesus to. Now's the time. Make sure that you do so. Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Now is the time. If anything that I've learned, at least in this last few weeks, is the importance of now. How valuable now is, how blessed we are with time, and how precious it is. We may complain about various things that we're not able to do, or complain about just sitting at home and the various things that we have that's going on, but we are blessed with a finite amount of time, and we need to make sure that we're using it to the best of our ability. Jairus absolutely was. He could have stayed at home with his daughter, but he knew, I'm going to go to the one that can bring her back, that can help her, that can heal her. And you and I need to do the same, leaning on our Savior and turning to him, understanding as this story continues to go on that people around were laughing because they saw Jesus just said she was asleep, but he brings her back from the dead. And I love, as it talks about in verse 42, immediately the girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. She was made whole. And when someone from today's standpoint comes back alive, made alive, as Romans 6 chapter would talk about, the opportunity to have a relationship with him, to be in Christ, and to walk this newness of life, serving him, it is never too late until. And you and I need to understand the value of now. Now, interestingly enough, during the middle of this story, there's this woman that comes up to Jesus. And certainly we understand this story. You imagine she had been having an issue of blood. It talks about it was horrible, absolutely horrible what she was dealing with. And as the verse I just read in verse 42, she was struggling with this the same amount of years that this young girl was alive. So it was for 12 years that she was struggling with this, as verse 25 tells us specifically about her. And in verse 26, it talks about that she had gone to doctors, and instead of getting better, she had gotten worse. She had gotten worse. They were of no help to her. You imagine the difficulty that she would have had in her heart and her mind. But then she heard of this one that was there. She knew that he was there. And then verse 27, it says, after hearing about Jesus, she came up into the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touched his garments, I will get made well. Now, you think about it from this perspective. Again, Jairus is trying to get him to his house. His daughter's on her deathbed. Get to my house, please. Come to my house. And this woman stops him. I just need to touch him. You imagine this crowd, as it talks about, that was around him. And she just needed to touch him. It wasn't, there's too many people. I need to touch him. And she does. And Jesus stops, and he begins to talk of everything that's going on. He looks around. He finds the woman who does this. In verse 34, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And she does. She's healed. Understanding that there are times that we're going to go through these physical issues, and it's okay. There are things that we're going to go through that are horrible things. It's life. It's what happens. But the reality is we can lean on the same God. We can turn to him and get through those things that we go through in this life with him. Understanding that maybe those things will be healed, as in the case of this woman, but maybe not. Maybe it's something we're going to deal with for the rest of our lives. But I assure you, as you go through those things, it's getting to the point of being able to say, it is well with my soul, because my Savior was willing to die for me to give me the opportunity of salvation, to be with him for eternity. That's the attitude that we are striving to have. Whether or not humans can help us from this physical standpoint in this situation, we know that God can. He certainly can help us through these things, whether it's from the standpoint of giving us confidence in him and encouraging us to go through those different difficult things that we go through. Perhaps it's not being fully physically healed from that standpoint, but it's the ability for us to go through those things. There is help that is available, and it is greater than anything you can possibly imagine it to be. You know, this story to me is so interesting, this whole chapter, because the answer in every situation is Jesus. And that has never changed. He's still the answer to everything. He still is the one that we need to decide to have a relationship with. I love Ephesians, the third chapter in verse 20, when you're talking about, you know, people put God in a box. He can't do that. He can't do this. You have to be very, very careful when you start going down that road. Because he tells us very, very carefully that he can do beyond all that we can imagine, all that we can comprehend. Don't put him in a box. Make sure that you have a relationship with him. Make sure that you are leaning on him. Make sure you understand that he is absolutely the answer. That yes, you're going to go through difficulties in this life, but he will give you life and give it to you abundantly. The wonderful opportunity to be with him for eternity is always available to you and to me. To offer the invitation, I just want you to consider Mark, the fifth chapter. You know, there's three times that there's this imploring that's going on. He implored in Mark, the fifth chapter, in verse 12, the demons implore him. They implore him, what do I have to do with you? First time. The second time, implore us to go into the pigs. Please, what do we have to do with you? So you understand what the demon's reaction is to this one. They know who he is. In Mark, the fifth chapter, in verse 17, though, after he does all this and the pigs go off the cliff, in verse 17, it says, and they began to implore him to leave. Leave. They were so scared of him. Just leave. Not because of what he has done. Just leave. And then you come down to verse 23, and it's Jairus who implores him earnestly to come to his house. We have the opportunity to understand that it is Jesus that is imploring us, as Luke 15 will kind of show with the prodigal son and the father, is desiring for us to come to him. He loves you so much. If you need to obey the gospel, I'm imploring you to let us know. If you need to be baptized, let us help you. Now is the time. If your relationship with him has just fallen off and you don't have as strong of a relationship as you should with him, now is the time to get that and make it right. And if we can help you with that, we would love to. If there's anything that we can do for you, email us, text us, call us, whatever. Just get a hold of us. Let us help you. I'm always praying for you, and I ask you to continue to pray for one another. And at this time, if you would, I'd like to close with a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much, dear Father, for all that you have done for us. We thank you, dear Father, for time, for this life, for the physical blessings that we have, for the things that for most of the time we take for granted, for things that we don't even know that's going on around us. We just thank you so much for being our Father. We thank you, dear Father, for your willingness to send your Son to die for us, to give us the opportunity to be your children. Please let us never take that for granted, dear Father, to understand the wonderful grace and mercy that you have and the opportunity that we do have to be your children. We know, dear Father, there are many people that are struggling from various things, that we all are going through difficulties, and we ask that you be with all of us, that we will continue to turn to you, that we will walk through these difficulties with you. We ask, your Father, that you will be with those that are sick of the congregation, that you'll heal them, to be with the doctors and the nurses that are helping them, to be with their families, dear Father, that they will be comforted. We ask, your Father, that you would be with those that are helping those during this crisis, those that are on the front lines, that you will bless them, that you will encourage them. And that should be with all of us, dear Father, that we will have the right attitude towards them, that we'll have the right attitude towards one another. We know, dear Father, that many can be frustrated during this time, and we just ask you that we will continue to have the peace that surpasses all comprehension, that we will continue to let our light shine, and let other people see you even in the midst of this difficult time. We praise you, dear Father, and we thank you so much for all that you do for us. And it's through your Son's wonderful name we pray. Amen.